We thank you. We thank you. We magnify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worship. And everybody said amen and amen and amen and amen. Go ahead and give the Lord a praise. Give him a praise, a praise. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. You guys are awesome. It's good to see you. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is our year of the fourth man. You have that 2024 confession?
Yes.
I love it. I love it. No, truly, at the time that the Lord gave us this prophetic word, this at the beginning of or end of last year, I had no idea what was coming in 2024. And I'm going to be just very honest and let you know, I think in this year, 2024, it's been a great year of victories.
Yeah.
And just so many things to celebrate, so many miracles and so many testimonies. But I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that we have actually experienced as many and significant attacks as we have in 2024. Seriously. And through every single one of those things, the fourth man. The fourth man. I mean, I think it was our pastors, Cleveland pastors especially. I had a meeting with them a few weeks ago before we went on the road. And I was sharing this testimony more than almost 25 years. There is no service. I have never missed a service because of sickness. It has just never happened in almost 25 years. Glory to God. You know, you have to know that's the fourth man at work there. That's the mercy of God. I mean, I know there may be, I can count maybe 3, 4, 5 services maybe when I wasn't feeling good in the morning. And because I didn't arrange for somebody else to minister the word, I dragged myself to church. And I didn't tell anybody what I was dealing with. I dragged myself to the pulpit and started preaching. And somewhere in the middle of that message, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will hit me.
Yes.
Somewhere. I can count about 3, 4, 5 times when that has happened in the last 22, 23 years. And by the time we get done with the service, I feel no symptom, absolutely no symptom. Well, in 2024, I got hit by a huge health attack. I mean huge. But the fourth man. I said the fourth man. And it's one of those creepy vipers that you don't even know is lurking around until God exposed it. And supernaturally gave us the upper hand.
Amen.
Over it. I remember in one of those situations, you know, sometimes you're going through that. Your mind, you're trying to focus, you're praying in the spirit, you're trying to dig in, but there's so many things going on in your mind, and you don't know exactly, you know, you are speaking the word, spouting the word, but you know a lot of it is from this cerebral level, from the level of your head, what you've learned, what you've read. But I remember one of those days as I was doing that, right out of my spirit came this scripture, and I didn't even remember where it came from. I didn't remember where the scripture was in the Psalms. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. Just out of my spirit. So sometimes people say, Pastor, why do you so much on the word? The word, you teach word Wednesday, we teach word Sunday. Whatever. You know, the best time to load up in the word is when you don't have any problems.
Yes, that's the best time.
That's the best time.
Yes.
Sometimes people wait until they have problems, then they want, by that time, your mind is so overwhelmed by that difficulty you are dealing with, many times you can't even hear the voice of God. But the time to load up, just load up. I mean, out of nowhere, this word came I know it's Psalm 91. I knew it afterwards, but in the moment, I didn't remember where it came from.
Yes.
I had to go look for it. I will say of the Lord.
Yeah.
I know the devil wanted to kill me. He's trying to kill me. It's not the first time he's tried. He has tried it before. But, you know, I think this one was a higher level. I've mastered adversity at different levels. I mean, year after year, adversity is just a normal thing. But this adversity was adversity at a level I had never experienced before. But the fourth man. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I remember one morning, you know, as I was getting the upper hand, coming out of that glory to God, winning the victory, a bigger storm arose. I mean, early in the morning, a bigger storm arose. So I remember I sat down with Pastor Tino and I suddenly started laughing. And what became funny to me was it seemed like all the storms were trying... No, they were not lining up. They were trying to compete with one another. You remember I told you that? I sat there, I started laughing. I said, this is very funny. It's like they are trying to outduel one another. It's like they want to see which one will have the greatest impact. But the fourth man. Somebody said, this is my year of the fourth man. And from every single, that paragraph says, the fourth man will be with me in the fire. What happens to ordinary people may happen to me, but I will have supernatural outcomes. The fourth man has made me a god to the natural elements of this world. Situations ordinary people cannot survive will become my stepping stones to glory testimonies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is my year of the fourth man. Somebody say it out. This is my year of the fourth man. Hallelujah. You keep sitting. Let me just go on and preach the word today. Glory to God. I said, glory be to God. You ought to know who you believe in. We've been talking about keeping that serpent out of your garden. Hallelujah. Before you have that encounter with the viper, before you get into that conflict, you ought to know who you believe in. You ought to know who you are trusting in. Trust in God. Glory to God is a major defense against adversary. Trust in God is a major defense against the adversary. Trust in God is a major defense against every adversity. Trust in God. Somebody say, I trust God. Come on, say it out loud. Say, I trust God. Before Paul had that encounter with that viper, well, let's read that encounter with that viper first in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 28. This particular scripture has been kind of hanging around for a while now, for almost a year now. And, you know, we'll touch on it in different places. And a lot of it actually is responsible for our 2024 confessions. But let me just touch on one or two things there. There's so little time for some of the things that I know are bubbling up in my spirit that I like to say to you. But bear with me because, you know, I have a word from the Lord for you.
Amen.
And it may not be a word you need right now, but you are going to need it soon. So as I'm preaching it, as I'm ministering it, I may not be saying what the Holy Spirit wants for each of you, exactly what you need, but you listen to the Holy Spirit and He'll prepare you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And He'll arm you. What's that scripture Pastor Tino read in Ephesians 6? Right? Having done all to stand. And he says something about standing in the evil day. Whether you like it or not, the evil day is going to come to every believer.
Yes. Yes.
If not, the Bible wouldn't have told you about it. To stand in the evil day. When the storms of life will come. When adversity will come at you ferociously. Especially when you are in authority and dominion, yes. Satan hates this message. Satan is scared of this message. Satan would check to see if you really believe this message, that as a child of God, you have authority and dominion. You do.
Yes.
You do. You are more than a conqueror. You are anointed by God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
You are a winner.
Amen.
Look at it in Acts chapter 28. Paul's encounter with the viper. Hallelujah. He said in verse 1, and when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened itself on his hand, as his encounter with the viper. And some of the people standing around, when the barbarian saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. You have to be careful who you listen to.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The word of the Lord is precious. And when God sends you his word, that word elevates you. Paul, remember he said in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, where he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. You remember that scripture? I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up. The word that God sends to you is to build you up. You have to be careful the word you receive. You have to be careful who you are listening to. There's a prophetic voice that has been assigned to you to pay attention to those voices and to listen to the word and to receive the word of God that has been assigned to you is a major way of being ready for the day of adversity before it comes. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. The word will build you up. The word will jack you up in authority. The word will fill you up in dominion. When you walk in the word that has been released to you, you are prepared for whatever comes. You are an impossible case for the devil. The devil can't stand you. The devil can't. What does he have? What does he have on you? But the secret to your victory, to every victory that God has promised you in life, is the word. It's the word. The word is the most significant thing we have. It's the most precious thing we have. Hallelujah. So when this viper got on Paul's hands, some of the people standing around started to speak words. But Paul did not pay attention to the words they were speaking because he already received God's word before this viper came. Paul knew God's word. Paul was visited in the night by God's word before this viper came. So when this viper came, what did Paul do? He didn't scream. He didn't yell. He didn't write a million messages to different people telling them what he was going through. What did he do? He just shook this viper into the fire. He just shook it. Would you raise your hand up? Just raise your hand. Shake it like. Shake that viper into the fire. Just shake that viper into the fire.
Yeah.
It's in our 2024 confessions too. Yeah. I shake that viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost. I shake that viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost. Why? How did he know to do that? Because he was in authority. He was in dominion. You remember Jesus when there was a storm? That's in one of Pastor Ola's messages too. When there was a storm, and Jesus, and Jesus was sleeping in the boat. And all his disciples were trying to get the water out, and they finally they went and woke him. Don't you care that we perish? Jesus said, perish? Where will perish come from? You can perish. Perish. Do you know who this is in this boat? And when he got up, he didn't even break a sweat. What did he do? He just spoke to the wind. Peace. You know, sometimes people think when you are not running up and down, when you are not, like, you are not hassled, it's either there is something wrong with you or you never have any problems. That's what they think. Or you don't care. That's true. They think if you are not running and panting and huffing like everybody else, it's like, it's either there's something wrong with you, or you don't care, or you don't have problems. No. No. Your authority in God. Huh? What did that psalmist say? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Then he said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then thou preparest it in the midst of that adversity. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Listen, he didn't do it after the enemy passed. He prepared the table. Are you ready for the blessing? I said, are you ready for unprecedented favor? He prepared the, while the enemy is right there watching, he prepared the blessing. And said, feast on this blessing. While the enemy is watching. While the viper is watching. Feast on this blessing. You just get up and walk in your authority. That's all it is. He said, no plague shall come near your dwelling place. A thousand may fall on your right hand. 10,000 on your... But it will not come near you. It is only with your eyes. You will see it, but you will not participate.
Amen.
Why? Because you are in a special class with God. Look at this. Look at this. And it's not because of your name. It's not because of your height. It's not because of your complexion. It's not because of your ethnic group. It's because of your covenant with God. Your covenant with God puts you in a special class.
Amen.
Amen. When you see Satan doing his nonsense, what do you just laugh? You just laugh. Like I said to Pastor Tinu that morning, I said, it's like these storms are competing with one another to see which one will have the greatest effect. And for me, it was like drama. I started laughing. I said, it really was comedy. It really was comedy. Hallelujah. You are no ordinary person. You are a supernatural person. You have the seed of God in you. You have the seed of God in you. Listen to me, child of God. You have the seed of God in you. You are no common. You are no ordinary person. Listen, if you don't believe this word, pick up your bags and go back home. But on this journey, there will be trouble.
Yes.
On this journey, there will be fights.
Yes.
On this journey, there will be struggles, there will be conflicts, there will be storms, there will be challenges. But guess what? We know who wins because the Bible says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to
Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
If you don't believe this, pack your bags and go back home. But if you believe this, get yourself ready. Hallelujah. He said some of the people, the barbarians, what verse is this? In verse 5, he shook the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Thank God he felt no harm. Thank God you will feel no harm in the name of Jesus. Amen. Whatever you are going through today, you will feel no harm. Amen. I say you will feel no harm. Amen. That viper can touch your skin, but you will feel no harm. Amen. When you come out like the three Hebrew boys, there will be no smell or smoke on you. Amen. I said there will be no evidence that you ever dealt with that problem. In the name of Jesus, you will come out stronger than ever. You will come out more blessed than ever. You will come out more healed than ever. You will come out more grace than ever. Shout hallelujah if you believe it. He felt no harm. He felt no harm. He felt no harm. I know why Satan is mad. People are being set free. Do you know how many people are understanding this thing about their authority and dominion? And those who haven't received it, they are receiving it now. They are paying attention. That all this smoke screen is just a smoke screen. Don't let him mess you up. Don't let him deceive you. You are the winner here. Amen. I say you are the winner here. Amen. You are going to take this word and you are going to set the captives free. Remember, Jesus said, the anointing of the Holy Spirit was upon me. And one of the reasons the anointing came upon was to set the captives free.
Yes.
And you cannot be in captivity and set the captives free. I can't pray for you to be set free from captivity when I am I'm bound in captivity. No. That word has to work in my life.
Yes.
Because the word works in my life, I can then say to you, you are free from captivity.
Amen.
The same word that works in my life now works in your life.
Amen.
So then what does that make me? More than a conqueror. Because I'm producing conquerors through the same word of God. And the conquerors that I'm producing, they are also producing more conquerors. So then all of us become what? More than conquerors. The word works. The word works. The next time that test comes, listen, and if you don't have any tests, and if you don't have any difficulties, be patient, they are coming. As long as you are moving forward in destiny, as long as you are running with vision, as long as you are not satisfied with what you are, where you are, what you are doing, and you are advancing the kingdom of God, Satan will oppose you. But the good news is no matter what the opposition is, you will win. I say you will win. I say you will win. He felt no harm. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And how be it in verse 6, when they looked and when they thought he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly, but after they looked for a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They change their minds and say he is a god. That's how people are going to look at you. They say, there's something about you. You look at yourself today, touch yourself, say there's something about me. Say there's something different about me. I am no ordinary person. I am a supernatural being. Supernatural being born of the seed of God himself. Hallelujah. They changed their minds and they said he is a god. He's a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief men of the island. I'm going to stop right here and move on with my message. There are three things that happened to Paul before this encounter with the viper. In Acts chapter 27, Paul said three major things. While they were right in the midst of this shipwreck, he was visited by an angel. Look at this in Acts chapter 27, and let's read this from verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from the Crete, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. You know, sometimes just listening to God can save you from dangers. There are even certain dangers that you don't have to fall into just because you listen to God. There are certain problems you don't need to deal with because you paid attention to the voice of God. Now, God is merciful. And maybe in your ignorance, you were too busy. You were too not paying attention, too careless. Looking at things and distracted instead of being focused on the word of God. Maybe whatever it is. Maybe that serpent got in. And now you are dealing with a danger you should not have been dealing with. God is still merciful.
Yes.
God is still merciful. He can still bring you out. Yes. But the way he brings you out is the word. He said right there, put that up for me, please. Go back to that Psalm 91. I'm going to take you back to Acts 27. Go back to that Psalm 91. Psalm 91, and I think it's verse 3. Is it verse 2? The snare of the fowler. Yeah. Verse 3. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. This noisome pestilence, that's a deadly disease. That's a deadly disease, noisome pestilence. The snare of the fowler is a trap. Is a trap. There are traps laid across your way as you go. As you walk with God daily, as you live your life doing your best to engage with the plan and the purpose of God for your life and to walk in the path of destiny, there are traps that are set on your path. Many of those traps you may not even be aware. That's what the psalmist described as the snare of the fowler. It is what the hunter uses to catch his birds, his prey. But when you pay attention to God's word, even the traps, so sometimes your journey, your spiritual journey, can be a journey sometimes of going right. You don't know why, but you went right just because you know the Holy Spirit said to go right. And then you went left. You didn't know why, and then you went straight for a while. You went left again, and you can't really explain why. Many times, a lot of that movement is because God is delivering you from the snare of the fowler. The Lord is keeping you from traps that the hunter who is trying to catch his prey has set on the way. But because you are listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, that's why you and I, we don't play. You and I walk with God. We have a covenant with God.
Yes.
Young or old, and the best time to pay attention to the voice of the Holy Spirit is actually when you are younger.
Yes.
Train yourself. Don't say, everyone in my class is doing it. Why can't I? Don't worry about why.
Amen.
If God says don't do it, don't do it.
Yes.
Don't say everybody I know and, you know, they did it and then they became the most popular. They have a 1,000 likes on Facebook. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Facebook is not spiritual deliverance. Facebook is not the source.
No.
Or Instagram. That's not where the answer is.
No.
All those influencers you are seeing there, they are looking for answers too.
Yes.
All of them. So he will deliver you from the snare. Many times it's through the words he tells you. You can't explain why you took that step. Somebody called you and say, well, we want you to be a part of this business. We want you, whatever. You went and prayed about it. The Lord said, don't do it. You said, no, I'm not doing it. He said, are you crazy? You can get $1 million. I don't know. The Lord didn't give me peace about it. I'm going left. You went left. You passed. Then 6 months later, you look back and you see that they are all in bankruptcy from that business. That would have been you. But the Lord delivered you from the snare of the fowler. You took steps you did not even understand why. The Lord delivered you from the snare of the fowler. Sometimes where your health is concerned. Before things become complicated in your life, certain steps, the Lord tells you, take this step. You don't understand why. Or he has you going there. You don't understand why. And Satan can put a viper in your body that will kill you in 1 year from today. And you didn't know it. But because you took the steps, the Holy Spirit, even though you didn't know why, you followed him, he delivered you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. That noisome pestilence is a deadly disease that was sent. That viper was sent to kill you, even though you didn't have any symptoms. There's no way of telling that the viper is on your body. But he delivered you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Because you pay attention to his word. He said, if you listen to me, that's what he told them. If you hearken to me, you'll not even be where you are right now. Now, this is not the worst. Satan wants more. But even where you are right now, you will not even deal. There are some things you shouldn't even deal with. There are some things God doesn't even want you dealing with it. Don't go so far out of your foolishness, out of your being led with your head, out of following your mind. Don't go so far and get so many complications, and now you need a major miracle to be rescued. He said, if you hearken to me, if you hearken to me, you will not even be dealing with this. You will not be dealing with this. But then he told them three things. See, trust in God is your defense against adversity. He told them three things. He said, this night, let's read this. What verse is this? Acts chapter 27. What verse is this? Verse 22. And now, verse 21. He says, and after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened to me. You should have paid attention when I was talking to you about this. You should have focused on this when I was talking to you about it. If you had done, you would not have gained this harm. That's what he said to them. You would not have gained this harm and this loss. There are some losses people have. They should not even have. People say, oh no, loss and profit is a part of life. You win some. It's not true. There are some losses God will protect you from. Because you listen to his voice. People say, well, I need a do-over now. I need a new beginning. Yes, new beginning, praise God, is a part of God's mercy. But every new beginning implies you lost some time. If, for instance, you are supposed to have gained ground in 10 years, walking with God, mounting up with wings like the eagles, achieving destiny. But you didn't pay attention. You went 10 years in the wrong direction. Now, in the mercy of God, you suddenly realized, okay, I need a new start. Okay. God gives you a new start. But guess what? You lost 10 years. Now, there's more mercy that can bring restoration. You remember when he said, I will restore to you the time that and the years that the cankerworms have stolen. You remember that there's new mercy for that? That's why you need to know how to plug into the mercy of God. Because even though you've lost some time, God can make that time up for you. Yes. But it also has to do with listening to the voice of God. Because yes. God will say, do this and do this and do this, and you will gain your 10 years back. We can't do this by trial and error, folks. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, if you hearken to me, if you listen to me, you will not have gained this harm and loss. He said, but now I exhort you, be of good cheer. Tell your neighbor, say, be of good cheer. Of good cheer. Say to your neighbor, say, be of good cheer. Of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. He said, for there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. There stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given you all them that sail with you. Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul said three things. I belong to God. I serve God. I believe God. He said three major things. I belong to God. I serve God. I believe God. And those three things equate trust in God. I belong to God, so God has my back. I don't lose sleep. I don't lose sleep. Is this message a bit too, is this strange for you? Just record it. You are going to need it. Keep it somewhere safe. You will need it. I belong to God, so I fear no evil. He has my back. God has my back.
Yes, he has my back.
I belong to God. We are in covenant. I belong to God.
Hey. Yes.
I belong to God. He has, my life is settled. My future is secure. I belong to God. I belong to God. I belong to God. My past is taken care of. My present is taken care of. My future is taken. I belong to God. I belong to God. I serve God. That is my life. I've yielded. I serve God. I serve God. I serve God. I serve God. I believe God. Everything God said, I believe God. I believe. All of those three things means I trust God. I trust God.
Amen.
Trust in God is a major defense against the adversary. I love one of the powerful Psalms of David. He has many of them. But you may not be very familiar with this particular one. In this Psalm, the context of it was David when he was running away from Abimelech. God bless you, sister. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for worshiping with us. Did somebody get her information? They got her. Very good, very good. Thank you for being here. Hallelujah. David, the context was this, what David was running away from Saul, King Saul, who was trying to hurt him. And he and his men were hungry, so they went to the temple. And because there was bread in the temple, they were hungry. And when they got to the temple, they saw the high priest, Ahimelech. And Ahimelech asked them, well, David asked, do you have food? My men and I, we are hungry. Ahimelech said, yeah, there's food, but I can give you, but as long as you guys are pure. He said, yeah, David said, we are pure. We have been pure for 3 days. That's a major achievement. And Ahimelech said, okay, you can have all the bread. He gave them bread. In that temple was an evil man named Doeg. Doeg was his name. He was a servant of King Saul. For some reason, he happened to be in that temple that day. And he saw David, while running from Saul, go into the temple and receive bread from Ahimelech, the high priest. And this Doeg is an evil man. He went and told Saul what happened and endangered the life, not just of David, actually, but the priest. Eventually, this same evil man, Doeg, was the one that Saul got to kill all the priests in the temple because he helped David. He was an evil man. David was writing Psalm 52. About Doeg. And he said, he was talking about Doeg in terms of people that trust and have confidence in what they see and what they know. And he said about Doeg, God will judge you. God will remove you. You know, there's a scripture in Jeremiah 17 from verse 5 that says, cursed is the man that trusts in man. You remember that scripture? He will be like a heath in the desert. He will not see when good comes. Right? When you put your trust in the things that you see and in the things that you know, you have a limited shelf life. When your confidence and your trust is in what is available, that is readily available, your trust and your confidence are in the things you can count on your fingers. You are in trouble. You are in big trouble. And David is talking about Doeg, about this. He was saying to him, God, look at that scripture. I love verse 8. That's verse 8 is what I want to read to you where he says, but I, talking about himself because he trusts God, he said, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever. Now that's where I really want to take you, but I want you to see what he said. And I guess I better close this. I'm not anywhere close to where I want to go, but we're 1 o'clock. We got to do communion. So I'm going to close this right here. But look at this psalm right here in Psalm 52. Let's close out right here. Somebody say, I trust God. Trust is a major defense against adversity. Trust in God is a major. No matter what comes your way, when you trust God, the Bible says in Psalm 125 from verse 1, they that trust in God will be like Mount Zion that cannot be removed forever. You cannot be removed forever. No matter the adversity that comes, no matter the difficulties you encounter, you cannot be removed ever. But those who trust in man, those who trust in things they see, things they know, things they have, things they are surrounded by, the Bible says God will pluck them out. Let's read this. Let's close out here in Psalm 52. I'm nowhere close. I have so many things I wanted to say to you, but time is gone. You are familiar with the way this works. You are not strangers to the way this works. Are you?
No.
I'm asking you. It's not a trick question. Because I can tell some of you are afraid to answer. It's not a trick. You are not strangers to the way this works, are you? I need 5 more minutes, 10 more, 15. Just give me. This is my last 5. And it's at 1 more hour. But we won't do that today. We won't do that. I believe I've already said most of what the Lord wanted me to say in this service. Next week is Elo. When we come back the following week, the Lord will help us and we'll get back to this. There's some things I really wanted to say to you today. But that's it. That's good. Now let's close out in Psalm 52. This is the powerful Psalm of David. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Hey. The goodness of God endureth continually. I started from verse 1. Psalm 52 from verse 1. Verse 2. Your tongue devises mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. You love all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. Verse 5. Watch this now. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place. There's a lot of these here, but you get the point. He will pluck you out of your dwelling place and root you out of the land of the living. Selah. Why is that? Look at it. Why is that? Because he trusts in something other than God. I want you to look at verse 5 again. God will likewise destroy you forever. He will take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place. And he will root you out of the land of the living. Verse 6. The righteous also shall see and fear, and they will laugh at him. Verse 7. Lo, this is the man or woman that made not God his strength, but he trusted in the abundance of his riches. And he strengthened himself in his wickedness. Verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of my God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Amen. I will praise thee forever. Because you have done it. And I will wait on your name. For it is good. Before your saints. I'm like a green olive tree. In the house of my God. My friends. That is very deep. My friends. That is very deep. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of my God. You know some? They are like a tree, but they are hanging in by just a thread. David said, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. So there's continual refreshing. There's continual empowerment. I'm a green olive tree. There's continual injection of the life of God, the abundant life of God, into that tree. Year after year, day after day, week after week, month after month, he stays fresh. She stays fresh. She stays well. She stays strong. She stays healthy. She stays blessed. I am like a green olive tree in the house of my God. Why? He said, because I trust in the mercy of God forever. My friends, as we get ready to close, we're going to take communion in just a minute. I want to invite you, wherever you are, I want to invite you to a higher level of trust in God. My friends, so many people talk about trust, but trust for them is just words. Because when they begin to tell you where their confidence is, join me on Wednesday, let's talk a little bit more about this. When they begin to talk about where their confidence is, you can see it is not in God, it is in some things they can count on their fingers. My friends, as we take communion today, I want to invite you, come with me. Let's engage a higher level of trust in God. Trust is a great defense against adversity in life. I want you to switch. I want you to place your confidence more strongly in God. I want you to remember Him. I want you to remember He is a refuge that can be trusted. He is a fortress that will never fail. He is a roof that will never leak. I want you to know this. He is a provider that never lacks. He is a God that you are sure of. He is a God that you can count on, you can depend on. I want you to join me. Stand to your feet, close your eyes. I want you to join me. Let's engage a higher level of trust this morning. We're about to take communion together. Communion, this is sacred. This is deeply sacred. I want you to join me. Let's engage a higher level of trust in God like we never have before. This God is the root of all peace. This God is the source of all grace. This God is a God of all renewal. This God has all strength. He has all might. This God has all provision. I know. We live in a real world. We deal with real situations and real issues. I know that. I understand. Sometimes the temptation is so strong to lean on things we see and lean on things we know. But I'm telling you, every single one of those things we fail. While Doeg is trying to appease and is trying to get in the good books and find favor before King Saul, little does Doeg know, King Saul's days are numbered. King Saul's days are numbered. God has already appointed and anointed another king. His days are numbered. The Bible says some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. He said, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, because the name of the Lord our God is the only defense, is the only true defense. I want to invite you to join me. In just a minute, we're going to take communion together, but I want you to talk to the Lord right there where you are. Whether you are here in person or whether you are online virtual, I want you to engage God at a higher level of trust. I want you to engage God at a higher level of trust. Today, God is calling you to be like that olive, green olive tree. You won't lose time. You won't lose favor. You won't lose joy. You won't lose peace. You won't lose grace. You won't lose resources. You will remain like a green olive tree in the house of your God. The way to do it, you trust in His mercy forever. I'm inviting you to step up. To step up.
To say, I trust God with every area of my life. I trust God with every area of my life. You know, like Paul said, I belong to God. I trust God with every area of my life. I completely resign myself. Because one of the evidences of trusting God is to rest in God. Is to trust God and is to rest in God. Is to totally commit everything that concerns me to Him. To carry no worry, to carry no burden. To stop your heart from racing over the issues. I know we live in a real world. I know there are questions that need to be answered. But my friends, when you get to the end of the answers that you have, you lean on God because He has every answer. There is no provision God has not already made. You lean on Him. I want you to lean on Him today. Stronger. I'm taking a little bit more time. I've closed my message. I'm not preaching anymore. But I'm taking a little bit more time. I want you to lean on God. Everybody under the sound of my voice, I want you to make a determination today. To lean on God at a higher level. I know people say, they say, I trust God. But for many people, it's just lingo. Because when they hit the rock, when they hit a wall, and the test of life begin to come, you see where their trust is. It's usually not in God. It's in things they can count on their fingertips. I want you to trust God. And to rest in Him today. And to rest in Him completely. And to take what He has prepared for you. This table that has been prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. To take it with confidence today. To enjoy the fullness of His presence, the blessings, His favor, unprecedented favor that is right around the corner for you right now, in this coming season. To take it in confidence, in assurance. Say it with me, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of my God. Say it. I am like a green olive tree in the house of my God. Say it one more time. I am like a green olive tree in the house of my God. Let's be thankful to the fourth man who has never left us. Let's be thankful to the fourth man who has made us a god to the elements of this world. Let's be thankful to the fourth man whose word will never fall to the ground in our lives. Let's be thankful to the fourth man. Who is ever dependable. Our Lord Jesus, who is ever dependable. Our merciful and faithful high priest, who is ever dependable. Let's be thankful to the fourth man. Let's be thankful to Jesus. Let's be thankful to our Father. Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful to the precious, mighty Holy Spirit. His ever abiding presence that will never ever leave us. He's always with us. When we go through the floods, He's with us. When we walk through the fire, He's with us. No matter where we are, He's with us. He never leaves us. He's our comforter. He's our strengthener. He's our friend. He's our teacher. He's our healer. He's our restorer. Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful. Our destinies are secure in Him. Let's be thankful. Our futures are guaranteed in Him. Ha! Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful. Oh! We are assured of glory. Glory in our future. Glory in our future. Let's be thankful to Him. Let's be thankful. He's faithful. Somebody come on, lift up your voice. Let's be thankful to our God. Hey, that psalmist, he said, I will praise him forever. I will praise him forever and ever. I trust in his mercy forever. And I will praise him forever and ever. Let's be thankful to our God. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. He's the unchanging changer. Ah, he's the balm of healing in Gilead. Ah, he's the one who sends the ram that is caught in his thicket, in the thicket by his horns. Ah, he's the deliverer. He's the deliverer. He's the one who hearkens to us in our day of trouble. When we lift up our voice, he's the one who runs to our aid. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo! Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I gotta do one more thing. I gotta do one more thing before I close out. You may be holding somebody's hands. Just leave that hand for just 1 minute. I want you to exercise your dominion and authority in the name of Jesus. I want you to look at the storms of life around you. I want you to speak to every storm. Speak, say, peace be still in the name of Jesus. I command every storm, peace be still. I take authority. I exercise dominion over every evil, affliction, attack, opposition of the enemy in the name of Jesus. I stand in my place of authority. I stand my ground. I stand my ground. I declare the counsel of Almighty God in the name of Jesus. He said, I would tread upon the lion. I would tread upon the dragon. I would tread upon the adder, and nothing will by any means hurt me. I exercise my God-given authority in the name of Jesus. I don't care what the raging storm is. The devil is a liar. I don't care what the raging storm is. The devil is a liar. It may be in your family. It may be in your career. It may be in your ministry. It may be in your finances. It may be somewhere else. Some area of your life. It may be your health. The devil is a liar. I declare peace be still in the name of Jesus. I declare peace be still in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hold somebody's hands around you. Hold somebody's hands around. Hold somebody's hands around. The Bible says how lovely it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It says it's like the precious oil that flows from the head of the priest all the way down to the skirt of his garment. It's like the refreshing, like the dew of Hermon, it says. It says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. As you go home today, I charge you, keep unity. Keep unity. Keep oneness. Let love reign in your family. Let love reign. Let love reign. Be one. Be one. He said it's like the oil that flows from the head of the priest. In your home, make sure you follow the priest. The priest may be a child. The priest may be an older person. The priest may be a woman. The priest may be a man. He's not gender specific. He's not age related. But there is a priest in that home. There's someone in that home at each point in time that God wants to speak through. He wants to give direction through. He wants to put light on the future through. Follow that priest. It's not age related. It's not the oldest person. Remember in Genesis 42? Jacob said, everything is against me. Because he was looking at what was around him. They took away his son. They want to take away the other one. He thinks he's going to lose everything. He said, everything. He said, everything is against me. But at the same time when he's saying everything is against me, God was preparing favor for him in the land of Egypt. He couldn't see it. He was the patriarch of the family, but he couldn't see. He couldn't hear. There was a little boy in Egypt that God sent ahead to prepare posterity. He was not the oldest in the family. He was the priest. Follow the priest. Keep unity in your home. Align with the will of God. Find out the will of God in every situation. Find out the will of God and do it. You will keep that serpent at bay. There'll be no room for that viper. No room. No room for the viper. Get together as we did in this service today. Take authority. Exercise authority. No matter the storm, exercise authority. Stand on the word of God. Declare your stand. And demand that situations align. In the name of Jesus. You are more than conquerors. Join me like I laughed at the devil a few weeks ago. Let's laugh at the devil. He's losing his mind. The more you laugh, the more he's losing his mind. Help me laugh at the devil. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.